So we have been cracking the door open on some pretty serious topics, and this is going to be the next sermon in a series looking at our relationships and what God has ordained through human relationship. Last Sunday, we talked about God's second relationship, pointing out that God's first relationship was with himself. God really is pleased with God's self. And that pleasure within Father, Son, Holy Spirit explodes forth in a creative majesty that created the universe and all that there is. God's second relationship was also a result of his creative passion. He created human beings to interact with, to expand that Trinitarian model of God, to actually have his image placed within part of his creation, for it to become conscious, for it to be able to love back. What a beautiful moment in God's creative masterpiece when God created the human. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence today. God, we know that the fall directly involved the sexual part of our nature. And so we ask for your special covering over our hearts, that we will not be tempted or drawn astray from your purposes in exposing this part of your word. God, give us each one special wisdom, insight, discernment from your word today. This will be the work of the Holy Spirit, glorifying Jesus in our midst. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I feel God's inspiration and blessing in the preparation and thinking ahead. You know, I'm not a real sermon series kind of guy. And yet I feel this coming out in a way that God is guiding. I'm very, very pleased to be able to say I can count on his leadership. So today we're going to look at humankind's, man's, second relationship. Next week, we'll look on covenant relationship. You'll know more about that by the end of this sermon. But next week will be about covenant relationship, covenant friendship, and how important that is. It's a building block to human society. And then in February, we're going to get into friendship, love, and sex. And so if you can't handle it, don't be here. But if it makes you want to be here, invite a friend. And we'll share together information from the Lord. The text I've taken today, though, Genesis chapter 2. Kind of riding piggyback on our text from last week. Genesis 2, 18 through 25. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." So man's first relationship was with God, male and female. Man walked in the garden with God. And God enjoyed special contact with them and communion and fellowship. We have that hinted to by the time when Jesus comes, when Father comes into the garden. And Adam and Eve are hiding because they've fallen into sin and they know they're naked. And God says, where are you? And so we know God was accustomed to sharing with them in a very specific, direct, and beautiful way that would be tainted forever with the fall. But in the beginning, God was creating and relating to His creation in a way that we today can only speculate about. But we don't have to speculate about the human second relationship. The human second relationship was another human being, and not just any human. God's reproductive purpose in creation was to be continued in humanity between two sexes. And if I sound different, it's because I'm trying to read exactly what I write today. You know what happens when I don't. So, God's reproductive purpose in creation was to be continued in humanity between the two sexes, a male and a female. Adam himself had witnessed this order in the creation. As he went out and God gave him stewardship over all of the creation, God gave Adam the privilege and pleasure of observing the creatures and naming them. And he could see that they were patterned to be paired. He could see that they were pairing with one another. Adam and Eve were also created for each other in the very same way. And just as those creatures sought one another to pair and to mate, Adam was drawn to the woman, Eve, and she to him. But there was a difference. And because they possessed souls, because God had ensouled them, and they had self-awareness, because a spirit had been breathed into them, they had so many new dimensions than the rest of God's creation. Sure, they were going to mate. But they were mated in spirit first. The dawning attraction between man and woman was something that was on a spiritual level. Human covenant friendship was being initiated. Now, in the Bible, let me find that passage real quick. I know I have it. Yeah. A man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. Covenant friendship is a marriage between two individuals. Covenant friendship is a melding of two beings. Covenant friendship is marriage of flesh. Anyone who's experienced the marriage bond knows that there is a melding. That there is not a losing of oneself, but an intermingling of oneself spiritually, physically, every kind of way. These two beings, Adam and Eve, would share so much that was not part of the sexual bond in creation. And here's why. God had taken of His own nature and put it in the man. He took of His own nature and put it in the woman. And folks, that's why clones and all these other threats to ethical biology and other, they will never rise or approach to this point of God-infused humanity. Because what He does is give him us of Himself. This child that was born into my family, God dreamed that child, had a purpose for that child's life, and then sent forth His own spark to create that child. The sexual union would only be a part, and not even these days so much a necessary part. God would be in every part of Adam and Eve's relationship. There would be no aspect of their life together that God would not be right in the middle of. And they didn't have money. That sounds like a country song. But what they had, God was in the middle of it. And whether it was their relationship or their talks or whether it was sex, whatever it was, God was right in the middle of it. There was no shame in it, and it was good, and it was beautiful, and it was so natural to be a part of who it was to be Adam and who it was to be Eve and who it was to be Adam and Eve together. God is the third person of the covenant friendship. And all marriage, all Christian marriage especially, is modeled on that. In Genesis 3:9, I'll pick up where we left off last week. Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" God knew where he was. It didn't surprise God. It's just that because God has emotion, it disappointed God, even though he knew. "Where are you?" And the man said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman that you gave me. She gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband's, but he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field.'" You think God meant that there would be a penalty, right? And so this earliest demonstration of God's displeasure, his absolute hatred of the fallenness of sin that we take so casually and joke about and say, "Well, it's going to happen anyway." God despises because of what it did to that first relationship, that beautiful covenant friendship between God, a man, and a woman. And back here we go. See, Adam and Eve knew sexual attraction now in a base way, because they knew this nudity was attracting them to one another. And they, personal shame, personal awareness, whatever you want to call it, it was driving this outside of God's covenant. Now man and woman would seek one another without God. Now one man and woman would approach one another and have sexual union and coupling without God in it. Outside of this bond, the friend relationship of human God had been burst. That's why this attack by Satan upon this basic element, covenant friendship, is the key to what Satan has done since then to now, and especially now at the day, the last hour, we see God, revealing to us that this is what Satan's plan is. Sexual attraction outside of God's covenant friend love brings the shame of the fall into full view for every human being. It's what makes little children ashamed of their own sexuality. It's what makes us hide and do things in secret It's what covers the sex act in shame. It's what causes us to think nasty thoughts. And even when it's something they're trying to make money off of, they advertise it as nasty. Hey, it's dirty. It's adult. And all it is fallen. You know, the creatures is fine. It serves God's reproductive purpose. I hope those shrimp keep on doing what they do. I hope fish keep on doing whatever it is they do. I want the deer to multiply. I want to go get me some deer. I want them to have, and if they can enjoy it, all the better. But let's just have them reproducing. You see, in other creatures, it serves God's, continues to serve God's reproductive purpose because He's not in that. But in humans, it's a way of enjoying each other in a way that we can't know any other way. And why is that important? Because of what I said earlier. It's a glimpse into the pleasure God has within God. It's the privilege that God gave us to enjoy this thing. Ultimate pleasure, not physical, as we know. There's some pleasure involved in that. But it's all the rest, the spiritual, the everything that you won't know again until one other moment in history that God has provided for. Thankfully, when He saves your soul, when He baptizes you in the Holy Spirit, and you know the ecstasy of oneness and union with God, you understand that it has been restored in you. And everything else is to be discarded. That's what I'm talking about. If that wall of water, that wall of fire at the door, open the door. Because everything you feel inside of you right now, whether it's angst, pain, grief, suffering, anger, war, whatever it is in you, can be washed out or burned out. And it may seem like, oh, well, I thought I wanted it, but I really don't. I kind of like hanging on to my little pains and boo-boos. God says, if you open that door, I'll come in and I'll restore covenant love. Passion you've never known before. And people will think you're crazy. They'll think you're a religious lunatic. They'll think you're nuts. But you will know love in a way you've never known before that will exceed the heights of sexual passion. And folks, you begin to see how this is woven together and how covenant love is so important. Covenant friendship with God is meant to be shared with God. Your first relationship. Then when a man and a woman stand before God in an altar and they establish that covenant of marriage, and God becomes the third person in their bedroom, and God becomes the third person in their finances, and God becomes the third person in their struggles and troubles and everything else. The heights of ecstasy to which you climb together is unsurpassed in life. And you may be sitting there thinking beside your husband, going, I don't know about all that. I'm not experiencing much ecstasy. Well, that's why you shouldn't trust anything in the flesh. But to go after something together in the Spirit of God as Christians, there's no more beautiful thing. Now next week we're going to talk about Jonathan and David, about their friendship. We're going to talk about David and Bathsheba. And we're going to talk about all the different ways sex outside of that covenant relationship destroys everything. And I hope that you'll be here, and I hope you'll pray about somebody that needs to come and be a part of it. This journey together. But folks, there is an all-surpassing love of God above the love of woman, above the love of man. that can make you weep with ecstasy, make you cry out for him to hold his hand, to stay his love, lest your heart explode. There is a union that God reserves for each man and each woman personally and privately, whether they're married or not. Paul said it is far better for a person to remain single if they can. He says, if you can, because he knows. But he says it's far better to stay single if you can, because your heart will be reserved for God in a way it can't be when you're married. And that's my clue. That's when I realized this is about a special friendship. And this war Satan is engaged in against humanity right now is to destroy your own private, personal, special friendship with God through Jesus Christ. Put all striving to rest. Put all human struggle aside. Everything in your breast that causes you pain, conflict, or weariness today, throw it out the door and say, God, you created me for this covenant relationship. And I know that if I restore that with you, mano a mano, I don't know how you say woman to God, anyway, you'll fix all my other relationships too. You'll heal my relationship to my spouse. You'll heal all my relationships. Me personally, I really don't trust myself without, when I know that I'm not fully in the Spirit of God, I just don't trust myself. I don't. All my decision making is called into question because of what Adam did. I pray that you be intrigued by this topic and begin to understand how much your God desires you. And that sexual attraction is the closest thing we have in human experience to even crack the door of what it is God wants to pour on you. Let us resolve to pursue righteousness and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And have pure hearts again. Hearts made pure again, a second time. For some of us, a third time. It's a journey worth going on together. Let's pray. Father, in this beauty of your Spirit this morning, we come exposed, naked, impoverished by our desires and the baseness and the shame to which they expose us. Asking you, Lord, baptize into every one of our relationships. Infuse yourself into all of our friendships, that we may know the heights and the joys, the ecstasy of worship and fellowship with God. And when you came down on this earth and your feet touched the dust for the first time, and Jesus, you went around loving. That's all you did, was invite people to love and be loved. So in these moments now, minister in our hearts. Speak tenderly to us as we take time now to reflect. In Jesus' name, amen.